Wonderful. Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Time now is 6:30 PM. Today's date is August the 25th, 2020. Please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. And Mr. Morgan, if I can have you do a roll call of city council members, please.
CC Franco, can you hear me?
Yep, present.
Hugh Diment, are you online?
I am here.
Melissa Gustafson?
Alyssa Leary is here.
Excuse me. I just wrote you down as Alyssa and my mind went to your last name. My fault.
It's okay.
Mark Springer?
I'm here.
Michelle DeWitt?
Hey, Kevin. Michelle. Kevin. I'm on.
Okay, we can hear you. Vice Mayor Hansen?
Present.
And that is Mayor Barr?
I'm here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. So the next item on the agenda, well, let's do something. If we can just identify the people that are online, I'd appreciate that before we start the meeting.
Hi, Beverly Hoffman.
All right, Bev, have you written down? Also, Kathy Hansen, are you online?
I'm online, thank you.
And you wish to speak?
Yes, please.
All right. Does anybody else online want to speak on people to be heard?
I plan on speaking.
Could you say your name again, please?
Gary, G-A-R-Y, Decosis, D-E-C-O-S-S-A-S.
Thank you, Gary.
I'm here. I'm the acting fire chief. My name is Ed Hoppick.
Will you be speaking on appeal to be heard?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else online wishing to speak on appeal to be heard?
Thank you. Okay. And just for the record, looks like we have our attorney, Libby Bacalar, also on this meeting.
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Bacalar. So we're moving on to people to be heard, and we're going to start off with Beverly Hoffman. Ms. Hoffman, if we can have you spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mayor. Beverly Hoffman, B-E-V-E-R-L-Y-H-O-F-F-M-A-N. I'm concerned about a couple of things. Well, I have a couple of things on my mind tonight to all of my city council people. Right now, first of all, I'm so concerned about the COVID pandemic crisis and what we need to do here in Bethel and the Waikiki Delta. We are very close to 5,000 positive cases and 36 deaths in Alaska. Numbers are spiking in our YK region. 78 cases thus far, and though it says 2 deaths, I believe that number is actually higher. Over 178,000 people have died in America from this virus. Forget that we're a second-class city, that we can't take control of our own situation here. We're a hub for many villages who are in danger along with us. Travelers and workers are coming in daily without being tested, spreading the virus amongst us. The airport terminals are filled with people shoulder to shoulder, many unmasked. I've been masked up since and hunkered down since March 13. 167 days of observation of how we are dealing with this deadly virus. I'm pleading to mandate everyone to be masked up. I'm asthmatic and in that age group where I'm vulnerable, but we all are vulnerable. I'm pleading that we mandate every traveler have documentation showing they tested negative within 5 days of travel. They test again upon arrival. We need more rapid tests, and we need that antibody test available. We must do this. It's irresponsible not to. Also, before you tonight is an introduction of an ordinance for a sugar tax on distributors of sugary drinks. I hope you support it. It will provide financial support for healthy infrastructures in Bethel. I'm hoping it will also reduce the amount of soda, energy drink, and Tang people are drinking, causing all sorts of crazy issues like tooth decay, diabetes, heart issues, and obesity. The funds raised will help make Phase 2 a community multi-purpose gym a reality. Having worked over 3 decades to make Phase 1 a reality, we want to see a gym sooner than in 30 years. It'll help support the fitness center, provide funds for our parks, and our ability to continue to improve trails and boardwalks throughout our community. We pay small sales tax, no state tax, and no property tax. In 2020, I've raised almost $1,000 in sourdough starter sales for a gym. We need help. I need help. And this tax at distribution centers will help. We're 6,000 plus in 2020. And you can't have healthy communities without having healthy infrastructures. We want our people to have outlets indoors and outdoors. I hope you work with us and support it. I'm also asking people who are listening and want Phase 2, a community multi-purpose gym built, and want to support trails and boardwalks and healthy infrastructures, to let council know about this. Finally, I want to say, with another city manager hitting the road, I'm really disappointed and tired of this revolving city manager situation when we really need stability. I was thinking Bill Howell was going to be our acting manager again, and only found out yesterday that he resigned at the end of July after 27 years and 5 months of services to the city of Bethel. If you're listening, Bill, I want to thank you for all the good things you've done. Enjoy your next adventures. And thank you, council, for your volunteerism for this community and all the work you do on our behalf. Quiana Chuknuk, respectfully, Beverly Hoffman.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. It's always good to have you on People to Be Heard and to listen to your encouragements. We also thank you for your contributions to this community. We're going to move on to Ms. Kathy Hansen. Kathy, if we can again have you state your name, spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barr. This is Kathy Hansen, K-A-T-H-Y Hansen, H-A-N-S-O-N. I'm speaking to you this evening as a member of the Parks and Rec Committee and in speaking in favor of the proposed ordinance for an excise tax on sugared drinks. I hope you will see this new possible funding source for Parks and Recreation as a chance to improve our town. As our community has grown, we haven't been able to keep up with the recreation needs and infrastructure. The limited funds in our city budget make it almost impossible to address maintaining our parks, boardwalks, fitness center, let alone expanding. We already have a few relatively far-flung subdivisions that want their own park for their part of town, which is identified as a goal in our comprehensive plan. And we have other housing developments coming online in the next couple of years. They're setting space aside as for parks as they're required to do, but we don't have the money to make those spots into parks. It takes money to develop and maintain a park, and money that Bethel doesn't really even have right now. The boardwalks and trails around town also need to be maintained year round, and the fitness center and pool need to be financially supported so we can continue to keep it in good condition for the future. When I first moved here, there were only about 2,500 people, and we had the luxury of two full gyms for indoor recreation in the evenings. Those gyms were packed every night in the winter, and now with over 6,000 people, we still have two gyms. But now the public can hardly get into either one of them for recreation because they're used so many hours a day for the school kids. Our adults can't have their City League basketball and volleyball and all the other sports we used to have there. The lack of gym space and adult sports is a real deterrent to young adults, especially young adults who want to stay in Bethel. Almost every business in Bethel has trouble recruiting and maintaining a continuous workforce. And part of the reason for that is that we don't have enough recreation outlets for people to use. So we ask for your support on this modest tax. A penny an ounce would go a long ways to helping support Bethel's park and recreation infrastructure. And it would be an investment that would improve our town in the long run. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Thank you for those comments. And next, we're going on over to Gary DeCorsis.
Yeah, close enough.
if we can have you say your name and spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes, sir.
Sure thing. Gary DeCosis, GaryDeCosis. Dear City Council members, while I support Councilwoman DeWitt's attempt to diversify the City of Bethel's income, as well as what the proceeds from the tax are supposed to go to, I do not support a sugary beverage tax. This is a regressive tax that would disproportionately affect people of the lower income status. Given Bethel and surrounding villages are of lower income, this tax, although it's portrayed as minimal in the KYUK article, will have an effect on many people across the lower Kuskokwim Belt area. Additionally, a sugary beverage tax is something that attempts to control the behavior of consumers throughout the community via their wallet. Many health experts aren't unanimous in their belief that taxes on sugary beverages assist in reducing the health problems in a community. If soda becomes too expensive for the consumer's liking, consumers may choose to consume another potentially unhealthy drink in its place. Furthermore, if taxes are placed on sugary beverages, then why shouldn't there be taxes on other unhealthy food, such as candy, carbohydrates, chips? This just seems like a slippery slope the council is trying to go down. In the snap of a finger, we may find our community turned into a tax-hungry city like Seattle, New York City, or God forbid, some of the communities in California. Council members should also be aware that soda consumption has already been steadily declining across America. Enacting a tax on a product with this consumption pattern might result in a temporary spike in revenue, but it would soon be followed by a revenue decline as consumers continue to shift their spending habits based on governmental influence. Finally, although the purpose of this tax is for good causes, it remains unclear, at least to me, what the council's exact plan behind the tax is. Sure, the tax is being pursued to help, you know, maintain, build parks, boardwalks, recreational areas. But I would personally like to see a detailed list of things that want to be done before passing said tax. I would also like to see more discussion with the council and businesses in the community. How would a proposed tax like this affect the businesses in the community? Do the businesses in the community support the sugary beverage? Personally, I haven't seen enough from the council or the City of Bethel to believe that implementing a tax like this will benefit the community, or that the council / City of Bethel will be able to spend this money in an efficient, clear manner in order to help the community. That being said, that's the end of it.
Thank you, sir. And we're moving on to Louise Angayak. Ms. Angayak, if you can approach the microphone. Say your name, spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Louise Angayak, L-O-U-I.
Closer.
L-O-U-I-S-E, last name A-N-G-A-I-A-K. I'm the person managing, I'm here supporting Action Memorandum 2040. I'm the person managing this grant. We've seen about 28 households and individuals. We've paid over 100 bills. I think it's important to get more resources out to the community because Bethel's seeing more cases and quarantines. People call us and they tell me that it's not easy to ask for help. We even get calls of people breaking down. When it's all over, they're so grateful that they even want to hug me, but they can't because of COVID-19. And that's why I support Action Memorandum 2040. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you. We appreciate that. And Eileen Arnold, say your name, spell your name, ma'am, and you'll have 5 minutes.
My name's Eileen Arnold, E-I-L-E-E-N-A-R-N-O-L-D. I'm the executive director of the Tundra Women's Coalition, and I'm also here to speak in support of Action Memorandum 2040. As members are aware, City of Bethel worked with Bethel Community Services Foundation to make individual grants available to people who are fiscally impacted by COVID-19, either by having been furloughed or having to quarantine or, you know, some other lost wages. And BCSF contracted with PwC to do this work because we already have a program that's very similar. Those funds are almost gone as well. We were asked to provide monthly reports on how this money is being spent, and the way that it's being spent right now, we're only going to be able to give one report because we're almost all out of money. Like Louise said, we've assisted about 28, 29 individual families. That's about 110 individuals in the city of Bethel. We've spent over $60,000 of the $100,000 that was granted for this project. There's a little bit under $30,000 left. And if we continue to spend the way that we have been, if we make it past August, we will certainly be out of the money in September, probably the first week of September. And as we know, cases are sort of continuing to rise right now and more people are having to quarantine. And the requests that we're getting in sort of continue to increase. So I really think it's important for City Council to approve Action Memorandum 2040 because the need that people have, the individual financial need that they have, is not going to go away when this money is gone. And just as an update, I want to let you know, I think it's going, you know, I think we're managing this really well. When people send us their application, we've had a little bit of a hold up, sometimes missing paperwork like the quarantine letter from YK or, you know, a letter from human resources from an employer saying, you know, saying that people had to quarantine or lost wages. But once we get all of that in, we're able to cut checks sort of the same day. And we've been able to process very quickly. And it's been, you know, I think the money became available to us around August 5th. It's August 25th. And like I said, the money's almost gone. So it's going very, very quickly. And if we want this to last as long as the CARES money can last until December 30th, then we're absolutely going to need more. But I want to commend the City of Bethel for making this possible and Bethel Community Services Foundation for being a great partner, Louise, and our other staff member, Elizabeth Watson, who have been working so hard to get these monies out. There's been a lot of gratitude expressed to our staff, a lot of miming of hugs when we're dropping off checks in a socially distanced manner. And I think this is a good thing the city has done, and I hope that there can be more resources made available for it. I would also support a sugar tax.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. I guess just for the people in the gallery and for the listening public, the Action Memorandum 2040 is giving a additional $500,000 in CARES Act funds to be used for the same purpose that was used with $1 million. And thank you for your hard work in that. Next up on the stage is Susan Murphy. Susan, if you can, I'm sorry, Taylor, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, and I was looking at you, Sue.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Susan Taylor, if you can just state your name, spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Susan Taylor, S-U-S-A-N-T-A-Y-L-O-R. The two things that are on my mind constantly right now is this COVID virus and the census 2020. Everything else is like, I just can't think of business as usual because both of these things are totally occupying me right now. Census 2020, if we don't have enough people recorded out here, that's going to cost us dearly for 10 years. And I'm not one of the employees with it, but I'll certainly help whoever wants ideas or strategies. I'm in the phone book 543-4368. My cell phone is 545-7524. I'll gladly help with strategies or where to find people or whatever, but I'm not one of the employees on it, and I know that they're probably frustrated with this too. The other thing on my mind is the COVID virus. We need to make this mandatory at the airport. Other villages are clamping down and saying, why can't we do that? Okay, we're a second-class city, but what are their villages? They're doing, I don't know. The attorney says we might get sued. Well, she can defend us then. She's our attorney. And the governor already said we can do this. It's just a different interpretation of this. And I just really think it needs to. I'm going up there. I see everybody wearing masks now. It's crowded, but I can socially distance, and I am. And I've been kind of researching this. A lot of people coming in for the hunting, fishing trips, they already have a proof of negative to fly into Alaska to begin with. So they could certainly test again, but I think they just flew straight through and they came from out of state. The people picking them up are keeping them segregated from the public. And people need to understand testing does not replace quarantine. And somebody that comes back to Bethel, test at the airport, but test the following Wednesdays too at the YK. It's free and it's, I don't want to say painless. It's not comfortable, but it's something you need to do. And I did some research about a week or so ago. I was looking at, now how come Dillingham only has one or two cases when they have this explosive summer population? And they have lots of things happening there. And then I was reading the testing. This was 2 weeks ago. We had like 13,000 tests in this region. They had 1,700 something. Way less testing. And then last week on the news, there was some cases of, I don't know how I caught it. I didn't go anywhere. So it's in their community now. And they seem to be able to trace all the cases here, but I'd be really surprised if they really can trace every case we have in this region right now. This is a very scary time. And I'm just saying these are the two things that are really on my mind. Now, Friday, I do produce giveaway. I like helping people. This is the last week of, well, it may not be the last week forever. I'm looking at some other ideas to keep something going. But this is the last one from the Farmer Relief Grant that the AC store has been doing. And the last 2 weeks, I started early because of that traffic, one-lane construction traffic. And I had to start early because I didn't want that to tie in with the commuter worker traffic. That would really have been a nightmare. So I did start a little bit early the last two Fridays. And yeah, we ran out, but we would have ran out anyway. And people came and said, you shouldn't have started so early. Well, they would have still had the same group of people ahead of them. You know, you run out, you run out. But if anyone is looking out for any of the people that are isolating or quarantining, it's none of my business who they are, and I don't collect names, go ahead and grab some food for them. It's fresh produce, it's fresh dairy, and all I get is numbers. That's all I get. to help with grant writing statistics. And come early, like 3:30 or so. You don't have to wait in line. You just tell me you're looking out for a family that has to isolate. And it's good fresh produce, and it's good milk and Tillamook cheese and butter. And we'll see what comes in. They said it'll be a big load to be their finale. And I am looking at ideas for other things, for giveaway opportunities, and they will be on Fridays. And just stuff's in the works. I don't know what's going to happen or not happen. So anyway, that's just all I'm saying is I'm just the two things that totally occupy me right now that are timely and right now and in the here and now is this virus and this census going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. And next up is Rick Robb. Rick, if you can come on up here. Again, state your name, spell your name. You'll have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Richard Robb, R-O-B-B. I just want to talk, touch base on two subjects. The sugar tax, sugar excise tax. I want to come out and say that I'm, you know, vehemently opposed to it. The city doesn't need it. The city has, we have a very high tax burden right now. Our 6% sales tax is probably the highest in the state of Alaska for a sales tax. And I know I personally sat up there on city council for 9 years, and for 9 years, the city came in under budget and had excess funds. I don't know what it was last year, but it's hard to believe that, you know, we're going to need this tax. It would hurt people. It would disproportionately affect the poor people, those that, you know, least could afford to pay. It would be inflationary. We're already seeing a lot of inflation locally. You know, anybody that's been to AC store lately to buy groceries, which is all of us, see that seems like the prices are going up every day. This would add inflationary pressure, even if you don't drink sugary substances. I don't drink sugary substances, by the way, for the record, but I oppose this tax. It would really hurt people. Also, on the preamble to the ordinance, and some of the speakers talked about parks and boardwalks and pools. And don't get me wrong, those are all good things. I support parks, boardwalks, and pools, but there's absolutely no guarantee that this money would go to them. Any tax on a excise tax like this goes to the general fund, and future councils can spend it any way they want, just as this council can spend money basically any way they want. So I'd like to state that, you know, I'm against this, and I'm hoping that you guys kill it right away. I don't know if that'll happen, but I'll say that. I'd like to switch gears now, and I'd want to talk about COVID. And I'm finding myself in the very unusual and uncomfortable position of saying I think the city and this council should do more. You know, we are on the cusp of a massive outbreak in our city and our community. Things are getting worse all over the country, all over the world. They're getting worse here. We're in a unique situation where we have a single point of entry to our community and our region. We have the Bethel Airport, and that's the only way to get here and to come into the region. We have the infrastructure. We have the facilities in place for testing. I would encourage the city council to pass an ordinance mandating testing upon entry. Once again, I'm in the unusual position of advocating for increased government, but under the current situation and the emergency, I think we will. I know the city attorney has come out publicly and said that we don't have that authority. We have other attorneys and other people that say that we do. You know, the city attorney's opinion is an opinion. I personally disagreed with this city attorney in the past. I'm disagreed with other city attorneys, council can too. That's your prerogative. So I'd encourage that. I think the city can do more. We could have a mask ordinance. We can have crowds. And the other thing I see every day is I see crowds of young people at Pinky's Park, you know, and it's hard to say kids shouldn't play at the park, but, you know, maybe the city could do something to control crowding in public places. So I'll just leave it at that. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robb. And up next is Mr. Ford, Corbin Ford. And again, state your name, spell your name. You'll have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Everybody hear me okay? Come tonight in regards to item 10.1 on tonight's agenda, which is the introduction of the ordinance 2025, creating an excise tax on the distribution of sugar sweetened beverage products. My concern that I'm going to talk about tonight revolves around the terms sugar sweetened beverage. It has the potential to refer to any beverage additionally sweetened by sugar. The common idea is that a soda or a pop is the only item that could be affected by the tax, and this can be easily misinterpreted. Unless the items being taxed are clearly defined, the tax could potentially affect items like Gatorade, Powerade, Red Bull, certain apple juices, and orange juices as well. These are all examples of beverages with added sugar or being sugar sweetened beverages that could also be impacted by the tax. Essentially, this could affect an individual in Bethel, even though that they may not purchase or drink sodas. I think it'd be very important for the city of Bethel to clearly define the intent or purpose of adding this additional tax to the citizens of Bethel and what it would be for. Perhaps the question needs to be raised as, what exactly does the city of Bethel intend to fund or use the special tax money for, and does it benefit the entire city? If not clearly defined, one could simply interpret the tax as a sin tax with the justification to offset the unhealthy taste of a City of Bethel citizen. In addition to my original point, there are very professional studies and published documents to argue both sides of the sin taxing, as they say, and they can easily be found on the internet. One point that stands out strongly, though, from the side against the sin taxing is that as a whole, sin taxing has never been conclusively tied to directing or being the primary cause for a person not to do something. And to explain myself, just because a municipality raises a tax on a particular item, and in this case, let's use the tobacco product tax for an example, the individual who would normally purchase that item as part of their daily or weekly routine would not suddenly decide to forego buying that item just because of the increase in cost, but rather would endure the cost increase, thus increasing their financial burden for their habit. The City of Bethel incorporated a similar tax several years ago on the tobacco products without placing an expiration date or sunsetting date to that tax. I would be curious to know if the City of Bethel has took part in or engaged in any thorough studies that can conclusively show that the tax, speaking on the tobacco tax, which is a similar type of tax, has made the residents of Bethel healthier or better people. Has the city reduced its use of tobacco products? And if it has, when would the tax be considered for removal? And what I mean by that is, when would the city consider the tax as effective and that it has done its intended purpose, which I can agree that it would be along the lines of trying to provide a healthier people for our community. I think everyone could argue, not just in the Delta, that humans as a whole could live healthier lives and make better choices. It's not a Bethel-only issue, and it is everywhere. It's an everywhere issue. Could the Delta benefit from less sugar use? Absolutely. We know, we have seen it over and over and over again, the cost of sugar use by the citizens of Bethel and what it can do to our people. Could the Delta benefit from less tobacco use? Absolutely, again. But then again, this is an everyone and everywhere issue. Even though personally I don't think the addition of a sugar tax would dramatically impact my family, I do stand against it in being adopted upon the principle. More on additional taxes, the city recently enacted the additional tax under the guise of a sales tax to online purchases made by Bethel residents, to which some degree has already affected some of its citizens. As an example, Rock Auto, a well-known online auto parts supplier, will not ship parts to Bethel unless the buyer can first provide proof that they have paid the sales tax to the City of Bethel prior. Rock Auto refuses to collect the sales tax on behalf of the City of Bethel. I personally encountered this recently, and in fact, it was this week, and had a long discussion with the Rock Auto customer service department to understand why my order wasn't placed. And that just shows that there is other issues that come along with imposing different taxes to the people of Bethel. And I think that's, look at my notes here to make sure that's all the points that I wanted to make. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. And last but not least is Miss Nikki Pollock. Nikki, are you able to hear me? And if so, please state your name, spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes.
My name is Nikki Pollock, N-I-K-K-I-P-O-L-L-O-C-K. And I'm also present on the telephone to speak against the sugary sweet tax. I disagree with this. I want to, you know, reiterate some of the comments that were made earlier today, that I like the intent of it. I think the intent of it is good, but I agree with many of the other points that were made, that it is placing undue burden on Bethel citizens. And I really liked what the gentleman had to say earlier today about, you know, becoming like Seattle or Chicago, where they have various taxes on various things. Have lived in Bethel all my life, and I know that a lot of people in the community live modest lives, and not everybody gets a raise every year or a cost of living adjustment. And we are expecting people to pay a 3% increase in their water and sewer services a year. And then now, because of the online sales tax, which I was, and I still am in support of, because Bethel does rely on the sales tax. I do hear what, you know, Corbin had said, and I mean, that's shocking to me, and to relate it to what's going on right now, is that there might be adverse effects from implementing additional taxes that we might not see right now. And I just don't think, with COVID going on, with people getting laid off and furloughed, is this where we really want to be spending our time and resources and asking people to pay more money? And, you know, we are very well aware right now that people are financially struggling. This is going to, you know, add cost to the cost of the high cost of living out here as it is. I agree. I think that, you know, Bethel, you know, people would be generally healthier if they didn't have, you know, so much sugary drink consumption. But that, I think, could be more of an educational, you know, outreach type of, you know, opportunity, as opposed to imposing a tax on people who, you know, who drink sugary drinks. We have the tobacco tax, and that was implemented, and that, you know, adversely affected the people who consume tobacco. And, you know, looking at the city sales budget, the city's budget of the tobacco sales, those sales have been consistent over the year. Just from that observation, it seems to me that people have continued to use tobacco, and implementing a tobacco tax didn't necessarily decrease people's, you know, consuming habits, but places additional burdens. And I don't support that. But I also support, you know, giving the 2040 ordinance of the additional COVID funds. I think it's very important for the city to disperse those funds and continue to do so, because these cases are continuing. People are still having trouble with employment or quarantining. You know, these are things that you guys have already heard today. So I do support that. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Pollock. Is there anybody else in the gallery or on the telephone or on our Zoom meeting that are willing to speak at People to be Heard? Hearing no one else, we're going to move on to item number 5, which is the approval of the consent agenda and regular agenda.
Mr. Mayor, this is Hugh. Is now the time to remove things from the consent agenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd like to make a couple of removals. I'd like to remove item 10.1, which is the sugar sweetened beverage issue. I'd like to remove that from the consent agenda. I'd also like to remove item 10.5, which is a response to the public health emergency requiring municipal meetings to be virtual. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Any other removal of the consent agenda items?
Mr. Mayor, this is Councilor Leary.
Yes, Ms. Leary.
Could we also remove 10.2 from the consent agenda, please?
Yes, ma'am. 10.2 is removed.
Thank you.
Any other changes?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Springer.
Yeah, I move to approve the agenda and consent agenda as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. There's a motion on the floor by Mr. Springer. I have a second by, I'm sorry.
Hansen.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen, Vice Mayor Hansen. Further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've got a question for yourself or the council.
Yes, Mr. Diamond.
I'm curious if the council thinks that amending the agenda to move 10.8, that's the CARES money issue, moving that to the top of the agenda would be helpful. It's a big money item, and I've got some questions, and we may have people who can speak to it in the audience right now. That's just a proposal, not a motion. I'm looking for what other council members say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Good point.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't have any objection to that.
Okay, I'll just make the motion. Yeah. So moved. I move that we move item 10.8 to the front of the agenda.
Thank you. There's an amendment to the main motion to remove 10.8 from the regular agenda. Do I have a second?
Yeah, second that.
Thank you, Mr. Springer.
Yeah, just to clarify, the motion is to move the agenda item up to the next item of business on the agenda.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Strickler.
Yeah, in my mind, I was going to move it to first thing under new business, but I didn't make that clear.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment to the main motion of removing item 10.8, the CARES Act budget and spending plan and memorandum, indicate by saying aye.
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 And just all to clarify, opposed, we're not removing it.
No, we're going to give it added importance, I hope, or at least let more people be able to hear it and talk about it.
Okay, vote has been made. All those against the item 10.8 being removed, indicate by saying nay. Yeah, motion carries unanimously. And we're back to the main motion of approving the agenda as amended. All those in favor of the main motion of approving the regular and consent agenda, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Motion carries unanimously. We have an agenda and a consent agenda, ladies and gentlemen. So we're up to item number 6, which is the approval of meeting minutes 6.1, 8/11/2020, regular city council meeting. That passed on the consent agenda. Item 6.2, 8/17/2020, special city council meeting. That passed on the consent agenda. And we'll move on to item number 7, which is the reports of standing committees, item 7.1, committee, commissions, board agendas, and draft meeting minutes. We're going to start this evening with Mr. Diamond from the Port Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, there is still not a quorum. We still don't have enough members to have a quorum. So there was no meeting. I would encourage anyone in the public who's interested to call the city clerk and get your name on so you can sign on and help us with the port. You know, the port is a lifeline for this community, as important as the airlines. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Moving on to the Planning Commission, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi there. So we were actually supposed to have a meeting on August 13th. It's the second Thursday of the month, but it was canceled due to not being able to hold it in person because there were a whole bunch of department heads that were quarantining, so we weren't able to have it. And that was the Hackney appeal public hearing. So we're actually not going to meet until September 10th. That's second Thursday. Geez, I had that all memorized and then I forgot. Yep, September 10th. So if the public wants to call in, I have not received an agenda for that yet. So hopefully we'll be able to carry on with what we were supposed to do in August. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. And we'll move on to the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board, and that's my committee. We have a application period that is currently open. It opened August the 1st, and it closes on August the 30th. So if there are organizations, persons that are willing to apply for the Community Action Grant, the deadline is coming up, I believe the 30th of August is Sunday. And on September 1st, we'll have our first board meeting. September the 9th, we'll have an additional board meeting. We'll present our recommendations to the council on September 22nd, and the payments will go out on September 25th. So deadline for the Community Action Grant is coming up August the 30th. And please, businesses that are suffering, not necessarily, you know, maybe a CARES or a COVID-19 issue can apply to this other grant. So please apply. We'll move on to the Mr. Springer.
Yeah, just a question on your report there. Has there been any discussion, and certainly this isn't time or place for it, but has there been any discussion about the CARES Act appropriation or from other sources? I just want to toss that out there. It might be something that, you know, your committee could talk about, or something that the attorney could talk to your committee about. But I think there might be, you know, opportunities right now to bring in additional funding for it and be able to make larger grants for a while.
Thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Springer. I would think just the top of my head that, yeah, we can give out those particular community action grants, but there would be a string attached, and that would have to be COVID-19 related as per the CARES Act stipulations. So great idea. We'll bring that idea forward to our attorney and maybe have our city manager look into it also. And thank you for that suggestion. We'll move on over to the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. And I'd like to call on Ms. DeWitt, Council Member DeWitt.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Barr. Our typically scheduled Parks and Rec meeting was before our earlier August council meeting. So you've already received that report. However, last night we did have a special meeting specific to the sugar sweetened beverage tax discussion. And from that meeting, the committee discussed in particular the priorities for funding and the methodology for creating a vehicle for that funding to go to the projects that they want to impact. And those projects are making up the gap in the YK Fitness Center operating revenue, which I'll talk about under that agenda item. planning, design, construction of a community gym, outdoor recreation, and boards and trails. And of the people who were in attendance at last night's meeting, this recommendation to support this ordinance received unanimous support. And I will talk about it more under that agenda item. Thank you, Mayor Barr.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do you have a date for your next meeting?
Our next meeting is the second Monday of September. So looking quickly at my schedule, that would be the 14th of September.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do you have any openings on that committee?
There are no openings on that committee. All of the regular seats as well as the alternate seats are filled.
Sounds like a popular committee. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the Finance Committee and Ms. Franco.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Unfortunately, the Finance Committee did not meet yesterday, which is our normally scheduled meeting time. As we all are aware, there's been a lot of turnover in the Finance Department, and so a recorder had not been assigned, and unfortunately, the meeting agenda and packet were not posted in time to hold the meeting. At this time, a date for the next meeting has not been decided. We do typically meet on the fourth Monday of each month, and I hope that we'll be meeting next month, if not sooner. And there are a few open spots. If anyone is interested, please contact the clerk's office. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Moving on to the Public Works Committee, Council Member Alyssa Leary.
Thanks, Mayor Barr. So we met last Wednesday. We had some really good discussions about a few different things. One of them was amending, it's been on our agenda forever, amending the VMC regarding plastic bags. We discussed, you know, issues with enforcing the code with local businesses this is already in our code. It's just not being enforced. And I was looking at just amending it. We discussed the monetary impact such enforcement would have on our citizens. You know, if the businesses are going to forward the cost of not using the very cheap plastic bags onto our citizens. And if this is something that the broader public is actually in favor of, we also discussed a potential partnership with the Department of Corrections to establish a community service program to help with picking up general trash, including plastic bags, since a lot of the issue around plastic bags is seeing them scattered across the tundra. We also discussed the issue of berms forming on the sides of gravel roads as a result of grading the roads, which leads to issues with drainage. I think most people are kind of familiar with. And I think we're going to leave that one's going to that item's going to stay on the agenda for the next meeting. We're looking forward to hearing from the Public Works Director on that. And then lastly, we discussed the recommendation to council from our July meeting, which was to explore options of creating a utility application that includes monthly proof of hardship in order to allow citizens experiencing difficulties due to COVID-19 to avoid the penalties and shutoff. And since the meeting, there's been a lot of discussion via email about what the city can do in this aspect. And potential partnerships to, you know, make something like that come forward. And then our next meeting will be Wednesday, September 16th at 5:30. I believe for now there's still a in-person option if folks want to stop by for people to be heard, or you can always submit comments ahead of the meeting. I think they have to be received by 4 p.m. the day of the meeting, if you want to submit written testimony, and that can go to pwadmin@cityofbethel.net. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Last but not least is our Public Safety and Transportation Commission, and that would be Council Member Mark Springer.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Barr. We have a meeting on September 7th.
So if anybody is interested in the fire department or the police department or taxi cabs, we'll be meeting and the agenda will be published on the city website. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. And moving on to special order of business, which is item number 8, we have nothing. Unfinished business, item number 9, we do have the item 9.1, which is the public hearing of ordinance 2024, which is amending BMC 4.20, article 8, contract formation and modification. That was introduced by myself. I'll open this up for public hearing. Is there anybody in the gallery, online, that would like to testify to this public hearing of Ordinance 2024? Hearing none, there's no one present to be heard. I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 20-24.